Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Privacy is necessary for an open society in the electronic age. Privacy is not secrecy. A private matter is something one doesn't want the whole world to know, but a secret matter is something one doesn't want anybody to know. Privacy is the power to selectively reveal oneself to the world. If two parties have some sort of dealings, then each has a memory of their interaction. Each party can speak about their own memory of this. How could anyone prevent it? One could pass laws against it, but the freedom of speech, even more than privacy, is fundamental to an open society. We seek not to restrict any speech at all. If many parties speak together in the same forum, each can speak to all others and aggregate together knowledge about individuals and other parties. The power of electronic communications has enabled such group speech and will not go away merely because we might want it to. Since we desire privacy, we must ensure that each party to a transaction have knowledge only of that which is directly necessary for the transaction. Since any information can be spoken of, we must ensure that we reveal as little as possible. In most cases, personal identity is not salient. When I purchase a magazine at a store and hand cash to the clerk, there is no need to know who I am. When I ask my electronic mail provider to send and receive messages, my provider need not know to whom I am speaking or what I am saying or what others are saying to me. My provider only need know how to get the message there and how much I owe them in fees. When my identity is revealed by the underlying mechanism of the transaction, I have no privacy. I cannot here selectively reveal myself. I must always reveal myself. Therefore, privacy in an open society requires anonymous transaction systems. Until now, cash has been the primary such system. An anonymous transaction system is not a secret transaction system. An anonymous system empowers individuals to reveal their identity when desired and only when desired. This is the essence of privacy. Privacy in an open society also requires cryptography. If I say something, I want it heard only by those for whom I intend it. If the content of my speech is available to the world, I have no privacy. To encrypt is to indicate the desire for privacy, and to encrypt with weak cryptography is to indicate not too much desire for privacy. Furthermore, to reveal one's identity with assurance when the default is anonymity requires that cryptographic signature. We cannot expect governments, corporations, or other large faceless organizations to grant us privacy out of their beneficence. It is to their advantage to speak to us, and we should expect that they will speak. To try to prevent their speech is to fight against the realities of information. Information does not just want to be free, it longs to be free. Information expands to fill the available storage space. Information is rumor's younger, stronger cousin. Information is fleeter afoot, has more eyes, knows more, and understands less than rumor. We must defend our own privacy if we expect to have any. We must come together to create systems which allow anonymous transactions to take place. People have been defending their own privacy for centuries with whispers, darkness, envelopes, closed doors, secret handshakes, and couriers. The technologies of the past did not allow for strong privacy, but electronic technologies do. We, the cypherpunks, are dedicated to building anonymous systems. We are defending our privacy with cryptography, with anonymous mail forwarding systems, with digital signatures, and with electronic money. Cypherpunks write code. We know that someone has to write software to defend privacy, and since we can't get privacy unless we all do, we're going to write it. We publish our code so that our fellow cypherpunks may practice and play with it. Our code is free for all to use worldwide. We don't much care if you don't approve of the software we write. We know the software can't be destroyed and that a widely dispersed system can't be shut down. Cypherpunks deplore regulations on cryptography, for encryption is fundamentally a private act. The act of encryption, in fact, removes information from the public realm. Even laws against cryptography reach only so far as a nation's border in the arm of its violence. Cryptography will ineluctably spread over the whole globe and with an anonymous transaction system that it makes possible. For privacy to be widespread, it must be part of the social contract. People must come and together deploy these systems for the common good. Privacy only extends so far as the cooperation of one's fellows in society. We, the cypherpunks, seek your questions and your concerns and hope we engage you so that we do not deceive ourselves. We will not, however, be moved out of our course because some may disagree with our goals. The cypherpunks are actively engaged in making the network safer for privacy. Let us proceed together apace. Onward. Eric Hughes, March 9th, 1993, The Cypherpunks Manifesto. Woo.
It's amazing how well those words hold up 31 years later.
Not only that, but what they were building when they were building it back then, if they could foresee what has happened at the three decades, since the three decades that manifesto was written, the stakes are much higher. The attack on privacy is definitely more aggressive than it was back then. Yeah.
Rough week.
Rough week. It's been 24 hours.
Love you, freaks.
Yeah. It's a tough one to swallow. Obviously, we're talking about the fact that Samurai's co-founders were arrested yesterday. The site taken down, GitLab shut down, servers possessed, and charges levied. were running Samurai. Obviously, this is a company near and dear to our hearts. We've been talking about them on this show for many years. It's a tough day. Tough day.
An unprecedented legal action by the American government. So yesterday, my basic understanding, and just working off of public information, because that's we found out alongside all you guys, was that Keon was arrested in Pennsylvania. Bill was arrested in Portugal, waiting extradition to the United States. The charges are alleged money laundering. And not a lawyer. This is my understanding. This is the first time that cases have been brought against, I guess, in addition to Tornado Cash, self-custody software developers who never took custody of funds. At the end of the day, code is speech. And they did have a centralized coordinator that never took custody of funds, but simply exchanged signed messages between individuals. So I think, you know, now comes a legal fight, and I would behoove people not to simply dismiss it and move on to the next news item in your constantly compressed news cycle, which is like an hour now, and try and have some attention span, because I think the impact of what happens with this case and what happens next could have far-reaching ramifications for many of us and for this movement as a whole. And it's just, I mean, it's a sad day when good people are in jail. So I can't put myself in their shoes, and I have no idea what they're going through right now, but that's fucking brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Big gut punch. I would echo what Matt said. This is what I would deem to be an imperative matter to pay attention to. Not get lulled to sleep by number go up and institutional adoption and what have you. Bitcoin only has value if it is censorship resistant money. And on the topic of privacy, like, we as humans should have the inalienable right. Should have. It's inalienable. It is the right to selectively reveal information that is not bad. And as it pertains to Bitcoin and trying to transact privately, that should not be considered a crime. You should not have to disclose how much Bitcoin you own when you send Bitcoin.
We will obviously be constantly covering these developments in the case very closely, both on Rabbit Hole Recap and otherwise. But in the meantime, from an actionable point of view for users of the open source Samurai software stack, which is completely free and open source software, not controlled by an individual or corporation, everything that Samurai built was self-custody by design, by default. So your funds are not at risk. You always have access to your funds. You and you alone have access to your funds. So if you're panicking, take a deep breath. You have whatever Bitcoin you were using with Samurai. The easiest way to restore it is through Sparrow Wallet. I put a link in the show notes. There's two links pertaining to this topic. One is on the actual case, and then the one immediately following that is basically a step-by-step guide on restoring it in Samurai Wallet. in Sparrow Wallet. So I feel like that's highly relevant to users. Obviously, I assume, Marty, you've been inundated with questions by people as well as I have. And the guide linked in the show notes is a very simple process. You should be able to easily go through that process.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough to see. It has been encouraging. I think the overwhelming reaction to this news yesterday and into today has been positive. Obviously, there have been some people trying to dunk on the situation and use it to throw shade. But I do think...
Which is pretty sad.
Regardless of what you thought about the individuals who built Samurai, I think this is bigger than Samurai and any beef you may have with them. This is existential. And it's bigger than Bitcoin, too. Again, this gets back to constitutional rights, First and Fourth Amendment, particularly.
Yep.
Do we have freedom of speech? Do we have the right to privacy and to own things without the government coming in and rummaging through our lives? I think we do. I'd like to think we do.
In America, at least.
Yeah.
I believe there's strong constitutional protections. First Amendment, free speech. Fourth Amendment, privacy, financial privacy. What else? Some of the freaks might be aware that the Samurai developers were working on rolling out distributed censorship-resistant Whirlpool coordination. That was not fully rolled out. So my understanding is Whirlpool is not working right now. So that answers one of the most common questions. On that note, because it was not functioning, Craig of Sparrow Wallet went ahead and removed Whirlpool functionality from Sparrow with his latest release. That does not impact funds that are held using Sparrow Wallet. Once again, Sparrow Wallet is also self-custody. He didn't change any of the interface in terms of derivation paths, accessing Bad Bank, accessing the different wallets. And it also can still be used to recover funds that were accessed via Samurai Wallet, as I mentioned earlier. So that is important to keep in mind.
Yeah. Beware, freaks.
Sad day for our country.
Sad day for our country, for Bitcoin, for freedom. We have a lot to talk about. I don't think we have to belabor this point too much. Yeah. Feel for Keanu Bill right now. Everybody else out there. Yeah, the chilling effect. They're trying to institute a chilling effect. Let's see how successful
very,
it is.
Very, very effective.
All right, let's jump into Clark's dashboard, get this show on the road. Current price of Bitcoin is 64,760 cuckbucks. One cuckbuck's going to get you 1,544 sats. Matt was late, so we missed a good block. We're currently at 840,843, three blocks away from 840,840. We had an upwards difficulty adjustment of 2% earlier this week, yesterday, in fact. Was it yesterday or 2 days ago? We are 1,845 blocks away from the next difficulty retarget, which as of right now is estimated to be 3.4%. Still early on in this epoch, so take that with a grain of salt. Blocks been coming in at 9 minutes and 40 seconds on average since the last retarget. There are currently 59,910 transactions in Clark's teeny meeny mempool. And God, I'm naturally going to read the stat. I don't know how accurate this is. There were 10,750.4 0.8 Bitcoin in unspent capacity in Samurai's Whirlpool. Yeah, anything else you think we should add to that subject?
I don't know. I'm feeling a lot right now. It doesn't end today.
No. This happened here in the U.S. and it not much better in the EU, especially after the fact that the EU Parliament adopted a new financial surveillance rule set for service providers, which won't go into effect for another 3 years. And this is enhanced customer surveillance measures for financial institutions, an EU-wide limit of €10,000 on cash payments for obligated entities. So the law also gives the financial intelligence units more powers to analyze and suspend suspicious transactions. Control. It's coming from everywhere. Rules also state that the authority for anti-money laundering and countering the financing of terrorism will be established in Frankfurt. Terrorism, money laundering, fear, give us more control. Coming to the EU in 3 years. So you have 3 years, 2027 is when that will officially go into effect. Who knows what inflation does between now and then? €10,000, you may only be able to buy a bag full of groceries. And the grocer is going to have to hand your personal information to the EU Parliament.
Yeah, and a lot of people will comply, like a lot of companies are going to comply with it ahead of time.
Yeah. That is, and I'm going to inject what we discussed last week, but there's more context. I did some more digging, sat down with Matt Corallo, the mining pool situation that's going on right now. And I think to understand how we got here, if you've listened to the episode of Matt Corallo, he was pretty aggressive with the solutions to this problem, proposed a proof of work change, which I think after some reflection, he thrust it on me during the interview. I don't think that's a viable option.
Wait, he recommended a proof of work change?
If things don't change. I think he was being rhetorically bombastic too.
Off the table.
Light a fire under people's asses.
We are so far away from that as the option.
I completely agree. And I think it would actually lead to more centralization after having thought about it. But
that is like the worst case nuclear option. That's the mad, mutually assured destruction game theory that backs a lot of the detente between miners and other users.
Yes.
But like, so, you don't just like nonchalantly just like launch the nukes.
No.
You try everything else first.
Agreed. And obviously it is a big problem. And we discussed it briefly last week while I was in PubKey. We had Thomas there. And so essentially what's happening is Ampool is essentially running a mother pool, if you will, a base layer pool.
A pool of pools
for a bunch of other pools. And so while you'll see on mempool.space that if you go to the mining chart, you'll see the breakdown of pools. You'll see Foundry.
Which already looks bad.
Yeah, it already looks bad. You'll see Foundry, Ampool, BTC.com via BTC, Brains. And it looks like they're separate there, but it's become apparent that they're not really separate. Everybody's proxying in to Ampool. And Ampool is feeding the other pools that are proxying into them block templates and transaction prioritization list. And so essentially you have one entity creating the block templates and transaction prioritization list for multiple pools, which essentially means it's all one big pool that is deciding which transactions get included in each block, and not each block, but each block mined by Ampool and any other pool that's proxying into them. And I think it's important to understand how it got to this point. And I believe the nature of how it got to this point is really stems from the payout schemes that these pools run. So today you have two very popular payout schemes, predominant payout schemes, FPPS, which is full pay per share, and you have PPLNS, which is becoming less popular, which is pay per last N shares. And so essentially the way FPPS works is you point your hash at an FPPS pool, and the benefit of FPPS is you get consistent payouts. You get paid out every day, and the payout is based off of a moving average of the block reward over a certain period of time. So you get consistent, relatively stable payments from these FPPS pools, and the trade-off is you are basically saying, I want consistent revenue, and I'm going to make the trade-off of potentially not getting the maximum amount of revenue that I could if I wasn't getting paid out based off this moving average. This is probably preferable, particularly to publicly traded miners who have financial statements that they need to issue on a quarterly basis, and other miners that run at very low margins and need to pay their bills on time every month. And so the consistent payout allows them to do that. The publicly traded miners are able to have financial statements that don't have a lot of variance from quarter to quarter, and the low margin miners are able to get revenues so they can pay their bills. PPLNS is different. You make the trade-off of, I'm going to stomach the variance risk of when the pool that I point my hash at mines blocks. However, I'm going to reap the full benefits of the block reward. I'm going to get paid out based off my percentage of hash rate pointed at that pool at the time that the block was mined. And so if the pool mines a block with a ton of fees, you're going to reap the full benefits of that block reward instead of the moving average that FPPS pools use. And so the problem is a lot of people have shifted to FPPS. Most famously, Brains last year was historically PPLNS for the longest time. And they bent the knee and said, hey, we need to go to FPPS. And I think that was driven by the fact that they lost large companies that may have been publicly traded miners that couldn't stomach the variance risk.
It was market pressure. Yeah. The hash was bleeding to pools that offered FPPS. Specifically, yeah. the Chinese pool mafia and Foundry.
Yes.
Continue.
And so there's a problem with FPPS too. While you're getting consistent payouts on the pool side, they do have risk. They still stomach variance risk. Even though they're paying out their individual miners every day based off of that moving average of the block reward, Bitcoin mining is probabilistic. And so any pool, no matter how large or small it is, can run into streaks of bad luck. And so if these FPPS pools are not well capitalized with a large Bitcoin treasury on the back end, and they run into a large streak of bad luck, they're not going to be able to pay out their customers. And so it's very capital intensive on the back end. You have to have a pretty robust Bitcoin treasury to pull from during times of bad luck streaks. And so essentially what people are surmising, what I think is most likely the case, is that all the FPPS pools that are proxying into AMP pool are not as well capitalized as they need to be. And so they're going to the central bank of AMP pool, which is a sub company of Bitmain, which is very well capitalized. And they're taking advantage of their large Bitcoin treasury to pay out their customers when they have streaks of bad luck. And this is probably where the negotiation came. So you probably had a bunch of pools coming hat in hand up to AMP pool, like, hey, Can we leverage your large Bitcoin treasury to pay out our customers? And AMP pool is like, yes, you can. However, if you're going to do that, you need to construct your blocks this way. We're going to give you these templates and these transaction prioritization lists. And then, yes, you can leverage the bank of AMP pool, if you will. And so that's what's creating this centralization problem at the mining pool layer. And so it's really a market structure problem. And I've talked to some people over the last week. I think AMP pool has basically gamed the system. There's potential that, because it was notorious, not notorious, but in the mining industry, there were streaks last year where the smaller pools like Brains and others had abnormally long bad luck streaks. And there's theories that Ample and others were probably doing block withholding attacks to extend those streaks and basically get those pools in a very weak position where they're essentially forced to come to Ample and leverage their treasury.
Mafia tactics.
Yes. So
I mean,
adding context to something that we glossed over last week, I think that's what's happening right now.
And like influencers will tell you Ocean's going to save the day, but Ocean hasn't found a block since before halving.
Yeah.
And, you know, like at the end of the day, like their hash rate is quite negligible. It doesn't even show up on mempool.space's homepage. They fell under one exahash right after the halving as miners, individual miners, essentially bent the knee and moved to larger pools to make sure they could capitalize on the record-breaking fee market we saw fueled by shitcoiners following the halving. I mean, the first block of the halving had 10x fee revenue over the mining subsidy. So the mining subsidy fell to 3.125. And the fees, the total reward was over 37 Bitcoin for that block. Which, by the way, was found by via BTC, which is one of the Chinese mining pools.
It was over 40 because the fees alone were over 37.
Oh, is that what it was? I read it wrong. Anyway, astounding. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that. And anything that's even come close was due to fat fingers, like accidental fee mistakes. And the second pool, the second block that got mined after the halving was Brains, which is another mining pool that is subservient to the Ant Pool cartel. So something to keep in mind there. I would add, at the end of the day, one of the best things we have going for us is, well, first of all, Foundry has a large percentage of the hash, right? So Foundry is over 30% of the hash rate based in the United States. The Ant Pool cartel is like at 47% or something. Presumably, they'll never agree with each other on something, which is a positive. Worst case scenario would be they agree on something. Another worst case scenario would be that the Chinese government and the U.S. government come together to censor a certain transaction, and they both compel those two large pools to try and censor a transaction. In that situation, we still have about 20% of the hash that is not part of either of those groups. And so presumably, users would be able to pay a higher than market rate transaction fee. And one of those miners in that independent 20% would be incentivized to mine that transaction due to direct financial reward. Now, if this censorship starts scaling up, particularly in a sustained high fee market, which we haven't really seen, but we expect to see, those miners that are not part of the censorship stand to make significantly more money than the ones that are. And this is an important element of the game theory that protects Bitcoin censorship on the protocol level.
Yes. And that's the big question, is this a problem driven by market structure, by the tech of how the pool protocols work? A combination of both. I think it's probably a combination of both, because that's a solution to this on the market structure side. And Alex Berg hopped in the replies of a couple of tweets I sent out last night. Is that instead of having the Bank of Ant Pool that all these pools are forced to operate with, maybe you do have a separate, impartial Bitcoin-like bank that isn't connected to the mining pool industry that offers these pools that are doing FPPS a line of credit for when they have streaks of bad luck. I think that's a market structure solution to this problem, because right now you have a biased entity, somebody with perverse incentives running the bank for the rest of these pools. And then obviously on the tech side, things like Shroud and V2 certainly do help. The block templating issue could be solved there, whether or not Ample would let individual miners construct.
Ample was never
going to
do that.
Yeah.
They'd be like, if you want to participate, then we construct the blocks. Yeah. And I don't think it necessarily has to be from like a strictly malicious point of view, which I don't think it's ever a mistake to assume malintent from Jihan, because he has a storied past of being an attack on Bitcoin. But just from like simply an efficiency control risk, risk assessment kind of angle, right? Which is at the end of the day, they're taking on that variance risk, and they can't have, unoptimized blocks getting broadcast. I mean, what happens if the blocks have no fees in them and the fee market's fucking huge?
Yeah. That's the other thing. I mean, bringing back things like P2P pool, just more competition generally at pools. So it's good to see pools like Demand Pool trying to get off the ground. Obviously Ocean, they haven't found a block since the halving, but them being in the market is something we'd like to see more of.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to, the 600 petahash miners taking one for the team, still mining with Ocean. there's a lot of people that talk a big game about shitcoiners on Bitcoin and inscriptions on Bitcoin and whatnot that control enough hash to like 8x, 10x Ocean's hash rate and haven't. So I think it's probably another good example that talk is cheap and actions speak louder than words. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's all about proof of work.
Yeah. And I forgot if you mentioned this, another interesting variable. I know you talked about Foundry, but I don't know if you added this context to it. I mean, Foundry does play a role in this and how aggressive they've priced their fees. They're an FPPS pool as well. They've been able to essentially subsidize the pool side of their business historically, because I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it still stands today because of the state of Genesis, but historically, they would offer really low mining pool fees if their customers would liquidate their Bitcoin via Genesis Trading Desk.
They were giving loans on the miners too, right?
Yes, that as well.
Which I doubt they're. I would assume they're not doing anymore ASIC collateralized loans.
Yeah. Yeah. So beware. Problem needs to be solved. Is it existential? I mean, not until censoring actually happens. You'd never want to get to that point. I mean, and we've talked about this many times throughout the years, but there is a historical precedent of one pool getting more than 50% of the hash rate, Ghash, in 2014. Obviously, the state of the market was significantly different back then. If you would have told 2014 miners what the state of the Bitcoin network, the mining network was at in 2024, they would gasp.
Ghash had a unique incentive. If you want to talk about external incentives, they had like this whole cloud mining marketplace. So like individuals could, buy Bitcoin on what looked like an exchange, right? It was like, they could buy hash rate what looked like was an exchange. It looked like a BitMEX style interface or something. But you were trading hash rate between other individuals. But you had to host it with them if you did that. And it was like the first major cloud mining operation that blew up in everybody's faces. Ghash is pretty crazy. And part of the thing that happened with Ghash was, if I recall correctly, Peter Todd had a panic post on Reddit. And he's like, I sold half my Bitcoin. Which is a really bad trade. So I would say, first of all, don't panic. We should be prudent and we should be vigilant and we should constantly be trying to improve and iterate these systems. But panic is our worst enemy. But secondary, is that the market responded really poorly to having one mining pool that large. And there is this soft incentive that means that if you are a large holder of Bitcoin, if you're a large holder of Bitcoin ASICs, which are purpose-built to simply produce Bitcoin and mine Bitcoin, you have a lot invested there in Bitcoin succeeding. And if there's an appearance that one entity controls a large portion of hash, that could have very negative consequences to your own operation. And that is probably also the reason Antpool and Jihan has hidden this behind all of these different pools. And now that it's out in the light, it should be interesting to see how Jihan responds. We speculated last week that he would not do any kind of maneuver before the halving. And now you see why, because they made fucking bank in the blocks following the halving. But it should be interesting to see if any moves or if he's proactive at all in terms of any moves on his side. Not that we should bank on that, but it's something to keep an eye on.
Yes. Be aware. We have Bitcoin Journey and Zap.stream live chat asking, what was that guy talking about changing the proof of work? Nuclear option? ? I didn't really understand that. And so to answer this question again, nuclear option, I don't think it's a good decision. I don't even think it is.
Luke has suggested this as well of Ocean. In the past.
I don't even think it is a nuclear option anymore, because I think it would be so easy to co-opt on the other side of a proof of work chain. So essentially Bitcoin Journey, the concept of a proof of work change is essentially if Bitcoiners, individuals that hold Bitcoiners, deem maybe it is still a nuclear option, but you never want to get to this point.
That's what a nuclear option is.
Yeah. Pretty. Yeah. If Bitcoiners ever deem that the miners are not acting in the best interest of the network, they're censoring transactions, they're hyper-centralized, and the individual miners pointing their hash rate at pools don't do anything. One can make the argument that they're not doing their job to facilitate Bitcoin in the way that it should be. And the nuclear option of a proof of work change is going into the Bitcoin consensus code and changing the proof of work algorithm that produces hashes that allow you to add blocks of transactions to the ledger, and that would immediately brick all of the ASICs in existence, and you'd basically start off with a new proof of work hashing algorithm and new set of hardware.
Yeah, it's a user activated hard fork where that bricks all current mining machines, and we'd have to start from scratch. And like if you wanted to go down this route, you would either want a algorithm that was incredibly easy to produce ASICs for, because that period where it's general purpose hardware is can be a very scary period in terms of malicious actors, particularly state actors, attacking the chain and attempting to do malicious reorgs. And it's fortunate that Bitcoin got through that period in a vacuum without really much attention to it. And then the second thing is, I've always theorized that one way to do it, and this was back in 2017 when there was actually like proof of work shitcoins, was to steal one of their algorithms, right? So you go like, we're just going to switch to the Litecoin algorithm, or we're going to switch to Ethereum's algorithm, but we're the more valuable chain, so we just take all their fucking hash. And then you have like a place to start. But since then, a lot of them have moved to proof of stake. So that's not as, but anyway, the point is this is a worst case scenario, worst case scenario option where the current proof of work is just completely untenable because of mining capture. And hopefully we never get to that point. I still think we're pretty far away from that point. And one thing we do have going for us is time is on our side. As these ASIC life cycles increase, which they have been, right, an individual mining machine can operate at a profit for a much longer time. They don't get obsolete as quickly. And as we start to hit more real physics limitations in terms of energy consumption, there are very strong incentives to start distributing the hash in terms of locations. And we're starting to see that in terms of so-called pirate mining operations that are based on gas wells in stranded areas. We're starting to see that with waste heat capture. It's very hard to do waste heat capture on a large scale. There's actually diseconomies of scale there. So, I've said many times in the past, you know, a Bitcoin mining operation in every boiler in every building in the world, right? You already got to heat the water. You might as well be mining Bitcoin there. And you can't do that if the miners are going to be unprofitable in 2 years or obsolete in 2 years or 3 years. Like, if you're going to install a boiler, like, you want it to last at least a decade, not longer. But we're starting to get much closer to that. And so time is on our side in that regard.
Yes, I completely agree. I think, I mean, I thought about this a lot the last couple of days, and it was Alex responded to a tweet that I sent that was basically an idea. It's like, I don't know if this makes sense, but it's validation of the idea. It seems like we just need to separate the credit facility that Ample is providing these miners from the mining pool industry and have an impartial bank-like or credit fund-like entity offering this to other pools that can then create their own block templates. They're not beholden to Ample's.
Yeah, competition does help, but there is obviously major centralization and capture forces with any kind of large credit facility.
Agreed.
I think we should move to the next topic. Enough of that.
The next topic is something, again, we touched on last week, but it was not fully consummated. It was making its way through the Senate. But since last Friday and today, President Biden has officially signed the reauthorization of expanded FISA 702 warrantless surveillance program after it passed the Senate last week. So now that's officially law. Section 702 has been reauthorized, not just without any meaningful reforms, but also with dramatic and terrifying expansion of U.S. government surveillance authority. The provision effectively grants the NSA access to the communications equipment of almost any U.S. business, plus huge numbers of organizations and individuals. It's a gift to any president who may wish to spy on political enemies, journalists, ideological opponents, etc., said Elizabeth Gotian, co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. And so another day, another attack on your freedoms and your privacy. It's coming from all angles.
Yeah, I mean, this is a trend that we've been watching and highlighting for you freaks for over 5 years now. And it definitely seems to be getting worse. And I wish more people took it seriously. And politicians are not going to save us. Lobbying your favorite government official is not going to fix this. People fix this, and code fixes this, and freedom tech fixes this. Open source software. Neighbors helping neighbors.
Hold the door. Hold the door, freaks. This is the man who signed this piece of legislation into law, this reauthorization.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
Oh. Shit. We live in a banana republic. The man's reading the teleprompter.
I didn't think this episode could get much harder on me, and then you made me listen to him.
I mean, the tweet. Pull up the tweet again. Don't play the video. You better start believing in humiliation rituals, freaks, because you're living through the biggest humiliation ritual in human history. This man can't even speak. He's reading the teleprompter. He's not doing any of this. The people behind him are taking away your privacy. He just introduced a 44.5% capital gains tax, a 25% unrealized gains tax. You're taxed out the ass when you get paid, when you go buy stuff. They take that money. They send it over to bomb people you've never met. And then they print more money to make it harder for you to go to the store and buy the groceries necessary to feed yourself and your family. And then they label you a criminal if you try to get privacy in this world. It's a complete banana republic. Pause.
You missed the pause.
Pause.
You just rolled right in.
It's fucking insane. I mean, it's... I promised Matt I'd keep Marty in the cage. Marty Jones.
Dude, I do not control you.
Keeping you him... for myself.
You can do whatever the fuck you want to do, Marty.
It's a deflection.
You can do whatever the fuck you want to do.
It is. It is crazy though. Like the.
But the other guy's not going to save you either.
The insanity.
Like Biden has fucking dementia.
No,
he's completely corrupt. But the other guy's not going to save you.
If
either.
You think Trump, the Trump administration, is not going to take advantage of these extended powers and FISA, Section 702, you're drunk.
Yeah, Trump would 100% sign the same exact fucking thing.
Yeah.
Marty, did you notice that we had an anonymous freak donate a million sats to the show?
Yeah. Shout out
to the biggest. I think that's the biggest zap we've ever received.
It is. That's a big zap. And as the most prolific zapper on Noster, I'm a little intimidated.
Fake news. Marty has resorted to lying in signed messages for everyone to see. Definitely not the most prolific zapper, but this is, I don't want to take away from Anon here, the anonymous freak. That is really fucking special and awesome. And we appreciate your support. And I think it's pretty cool that you did it anonymously.
I do as well.
And we have no idea who you are. Thank you.
Thank you. Another thing. Listen, I'm not going to inject any position on what's happening in Gaza right now, but just the what happened down the street here in Texas yesterday was disgusting. Like, you had students protesting, you had Governor Abbott send out the state troopers, hundreds of them it looked like, and just completely beat up a bunch of college students for protesting.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Was that yesterday?
It was yesterday. And it's happening all over the country now. Like, listen, I don't
Yeah, I mean, I saw it happen in New
York.
I don't
think it's very effective, personally, this type of protesting. Zuccotti Park-like camping. But this is America. We should be able to do that, you know?
It was at UT?
It was UT.
Damn, dude.
Yes. Mercury was in retrograde for, like, the last 10 days. Maybe it's just, like,
oh, my God. Just end the fucking show.
That's my wife. Whenever it happens, my wife will randomly text me. She's like, it all makes sense now. Mercury's in retrograde. Not software announcements, so we won't get the boost yet. There have been 5 new editors added to to oversee Bitcoin improvement proposals. After public discussion, Brian Bishop, John Attack, Merch, Roast Beef, and Ruben Thompson have been made BIP editors. I like that mix.
It was great to see some resolution here. It was very touchy for a while. So this is the Bitcoin improvement proposal process, right? So if you have a potential improvement that you want to see implemented in Bitcoin, first you have to go through this BIP process. And historically, it was essentially a one-man show of Luke Dasher managing and maintaining it. You know, quite frankly, it is an incredibly thankless job that has a lot of pressure and it's a necessary hard job that almost everyone will always get mad at you for. And so Luke was like, I don't want to fucking do it anymore. And you know, no one really wanted to step up. For the most part, no one really wanted to step up. And it's hard to blame them. So shout out to these guys for stepping up to the plate and managing this process. And to be clear, this is not supposed to be, by design, it's not supposed to be like a exclusionary process. It's supposed to be, they're supposed to do bare minimum review. Does this make sense? Like, is this not spam? And then put it in, give it a BIP number, put it out there, and then let the community actually assess it and review it going forward. It's not like they're not supposed to be like the supreme dictator council that decides which BIPs are valid and which BIPs aren't. But there's a lot of garbage that gets submitted to that, and it's by design needs to be open. So it is hard work. And it, like I said, very thankless, lots of pressure.
Yes. Shout out to everybody again. Really like the list of individuals overseeing the BIP process. Strong individuals. Shout out to all of you for stepping up. Next on the list, Strike launches their services in Europe. Long awaited. Jack, the Strike team. Incessant tweets of when Europe, now. Actually, yesterday.
Massive. Huge congrats to the Strike team. Yeah, I mean, Europe's been waiting for Strike for a long time. Now they have access to Strike. Obviously, 1031 is the largest investor in Strike, and it's important that we routinely disclose that. And we're not trying to hide anything from the freaks. You can always go to 1031.vc to see a full list of the companies we support. Obviously, Strike has KYC. And KYC is a risk to users. I think we've been quite vocal about that. Pretty much every company that interacts with the traditional banking system implements KYC, which is a know your customer regulatory procedure where they take IDs and they keep lists of Bitcoiners and our transaction history, which is very troublesome. But Strike's goal is, within that KYC regime for a KYC business, to offer the single best user interface for people that want to interact with Bitcoin in a way that connects them to the legacy financial system. And I think they're doing a bang up job of it. I think they make it incredibly easy to move from bank account to Bitcoin and vice versa. They were on the cutting edge of supporting Lightning. It's strictly better to deposit and withdraw using Lightning from a privacy perspective and a performance perspective, fee perspective. And I'm incredibly proud of what they've been building over there. It's really great to see.
Yes. Shout out to Jack, the team at Strike. It's a massive for Europeans.
I believe they are in more countries than anyone in the world except for Binance at this point. The rollout continues slow and steady.
And people are opining for a solid Bitcoin app all over the world. They don't want shit coins. They don't want Coinbase to put a commercial like Bitcoin's the future. Then you go download the app and you can't even find Bitcoin. If you hear that Bitcoin's the future and you believe that, you want to be able to download an app, sign up for a service where it's like, hey, here's the Bitcoin. Strike's doing that. Shout out to them.
And they're just laser focused, Bitcoin only, you know, so they're able to stay on the cutting edge. I don't know if we necessarily covered it, but they recently updated how their limits are processed, and the limit system is much more transparent and much friendlier to users, allowing you to buy more Bitcoin at a time, and making it very clear on what kind of wait times in terms of withdrawals. You have some that you can withdraw instantly. My single favorite feature of Strike continues to be the fact that you can just buy and instantly withdraw to a Lightning invoice. And I also just really like the tip pages where you can go to the user's page and someone can pay you with just that link from any Bitcoin or Lightning wallet. I do see someone in the comments asking about the limited edition Citadel Dispatch hat that I'm wearing, and that you ordered one and that you're waiting for it. As you can tell, it's got this nice leather patch on it. I'm doing it all with a local printer, which means the lead times are kind of long. I mean, I think they told me 4 to 6 weeks about 4 weeks ago. So I'm hoping to receive them soon. And then at that point, I have to manually put them in boxes and send them out. Like, I'm not using like a drop shipper that just handles it all for me. So it'll probably be a few more weeks. I will obviously email you when it ships. I have your email address if you bought one. And if you're interested in one, those are available at citadeldispatch.com/shop.
Let the record show that was a YouTube comment. Matt is still reading the YouTube comments.
Well, they're built into Ecamm, so I can't. Can you even remove? I see those, and then I see the Noster comments right next to it. If you want to join our Noster live stream, where the anonymous freak donated 1 million sats in line in the chat, which is fucking cool. That's rhr.tv/stream. And I'm actually going to have, since you brought it up, Marty, I'm going to have Kieran, maintainer and creator of Zapstream on Cyril Dispatch on Tuesday at 1500 UTC. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Be aware. We are going to read one more company update because I'm now noticing there's not many software updates, if any at all, on the list. Primal introduces top zaps to all of its Noster clients. Disclaimer, Primal is another 1031 portfolio company. Another one that we're very proud of. Primal introduces top zaps to all of its Noster clients. This is cool. They rolled this out yesterday, the day before.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this is fucking huge. And I think it just goes to show, like, come on, Bitcoiners. Like, if you're using Twitter, at least use Noster on this, in addition to it. I mean, I think Noster is better. But it's got Bitcoin payments built in. It's got so I think this is a key aspect, right? It's like people want to support you, but also, like, I mean, besides this anonymous freak who gets, you know, no social signal credit whatsoever from donating, most people, when they support someone, want to have some kind of social signal and social credit. So this update to Primal across web, iOS, and Android makes Zaps first-class citizens, and the top Zaps are displayed directly under the note, literally listed in order of amount. So the top one actually has their message and their emoji shown there. The ones underneath just have their little profile picture. He's got a nice little animation here. Now, this is not something completely novel in Noster. Domus and Will of Domus implemented a similar but different implementation, like how they showed the top zaps into Domus before the Apple App Store cracked down on zaps in his wallet, and then he removed the feature. I think this is a must for every Noster client. I think zaps are a key aspect of Noster. I think it's incredibly cool to be able to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. And if you think content is good, if you think someone is saying something that is worth boosting, then you should put some sats behind it. And I think someone who puts sats behind what they say, it is inherently stronger because they have more skin in the game.
As the most prolific zapper on Noster, I co-sign that message.
Lies. Fake news. Fake news. What is the website? HasMartyZapped.today? Is that the website?
Let's check it, Logan. Terrible.
HasMartyZapped.today?
Some disgusting individuals running this site.
Are you going to pull it up on screen?
What's it saying?
Is Logan protesting?
Did I fuck up the URL? What is it?
Let me check. Give me a second. HasMartyZapped.today.
Yeah, HasMartyZapped.today. That's what I said, right?
Zap with two P's.
Am I blind?
Did they take the site down because I destroyed their propaganda campaign on Noster last night? Maybe. Let's check.
No, I typed this in, right?
No, I sent it in the Signal chat. Click it.
Maybe you need the HTTPS.
Well, anyway.
This is fake news. I literally zapped.
So a freak made this and sent it to me, and Marty is correct. He has actually zapped today. I'm pretty sure it just says checking and then says Marty has not zapped today. And it doesn't actually check. You got to don't trust verify, freaks.
This is disgusting.
I agree with you, Marty. I mean, you clearly have zapped today. Oh, shit. We got another a million sat zap.
Holy
Thank
crap.
You, freak.
Shout out to NPUB1CMK55YS.
Do we not know who that is? We just know the NPUB.
Love you guys.
Thank you, freak. We appreciate it.
This is actually, like, it is insane to think that. It's just like, poof.
pretty fucking
straight
cool.
to the wallet. With that in mind, go mess around, go zap. You know what? Just because I'm the most prolific zapper, Seth for privacy, zap, done.
Well, UTXO, we know it.
Zap, done.
We know these two freaks are more prolific than you. I think you just don't have to go to the extremes, Marty.
Pablo, like, zap, done.
I will say, Marty, you know, I give you tough love, but I've noticed you've been using Noster a lot more lately. And it's just really, it's really great to see. And it's a pleasure having you there with us. You really do make it, you make it better by participating.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So it's I fun wanted to participate. Thank you. And I like do my... think, I do think that, I mean, Zapstream is one of the coolest. Look at that. I mean, over 2 million sats and zapped directly from our audience to us in the live chat, interactive. Like, that's got to be the future. Like, am I a crazy person? Like, that just feels like the future. And that's just a completely open protocol.
158,000 sats. Holy shit. Cool. We may be able to make a career out of this after all, man.
Thank you, Brent George. Just in time for me to retire.
This is really going to make goats and other stuff a lot of fun. Thank you, guys. Is that another way to contribute to the show via Bitcoin natively, peer-to-peer? Podcasting 2.0. We've got to read the top four boosts from the last 2 weeks. It was in New York, and I forgot to read the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 299. Get on the Bitcoin train. At Cum Rocket, 42,069 sats. Western Mass Bitcoin Meetup, Saturday, 420. Hope it was fun. 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at Fitzwillie's Restaurant, 23 Main Street, North Hampton, Mass. It's official. The Western Mass Bitcoin Meetup having parties on. Wait, no, I'm reading the wrong one.
Yeah, you fucked up.
I'm too far behind.
That's why I didn't hit the button.
I was like, I already read that one. Excuse me. The show must go on. Rabbit Hole Recap 300. Kirk boosted 121,000 sats. If you are a Southern Hemisphere Bitcoiner, be sure to come to the BitKiwi Having Party in Wellington, New Zealand. Fork and Brewer, Bond Street, 7 p.m. on 420. Hope it was fun. There is no second best having party. If Marty and Matt read this a week late, as I half expect them to.
I'm so sorry, freak.
We've got another bash in July in New Zealand's Bitcoin capital, Christchurch. So... hope you enjoyed the one last Saturday.
I think that was one of the best podcasting 2.0 boosts we've ever received. First of all, it was quite a large amount. And then second of all, he completely nailed that we forgot to read it and put in the future read just in case we did. So
yes,
that one got me going when I saw it.
His insurance policy paid off. If you're in New Zealand, get to Christchurch. In the middle of July, they're going to have another bash. At Cum Rocket. 69,420 sats. Bitcoin Chattanooga meetup on May 18th, 2024. Join us every third Saturday of the month from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Agora, a local association for healthy food and self-sufficiency. 6112 Hickson Pike, Hickson, Tennessee. Every month, we'll give away free Bitcoin stickers, allow you to check out Bitcoin books to return later, and sometimes even give away free books and magazines that you can keep. At every meetup, we'll start with a brief presentation about the meeting's topic and open it up to a group chat, to the group to chat freely. Peace and love. Thanks, Cum Rocket. At Ben Justman, 50,000 sats. After a successful auction for the first 21 bottles, Peony Lane is releasing the remainder of Satoshi's Peony Reserve. Peony Lane. Is releasing the remainder of Satoshi's Reserve, a 210-bottle limited natural wine release at the Halving. Get yours before they're gone at peonylanewine.com. They may be gone already, freaks. Hot commodity. At Eric99, boosted 50,000 sats. Stay humble. Stack sats. Shout out great to you, advice. Freaks. Apologize for missing that last week. We will not miss the boost from Rabbit Hole Recap 301, New Epoch, New Era, Bitcoin Halving Special. At Eric PDX, boosted 77,777 sats, sevens across the board, palindrome boost, announcing the Bitcoin is for Everyone conference in Portland, Oregon on Bitcoin Pizza Day. That's May 22nd. Join us for a one-day Bitcoin-only conference. Whether you are a Bitcoin enthusiast or just Bitcoin curious, tickets and more info at www.bitcoinisforeveryone.com. Is it for everyone or is it for anyone? That's the question. I'm not going to digress the boost. At Stimmy boosted 69,420 sats. Shout out to Deverick and the Nebraska Bitcoiners for a great having party. Next meetup in the Cornhusker State is an online book discussion on the block size war this Sunday, April 28th. Find it on meetup.com. Last but not least, privacy is not a crime in software speech. Free the samurai, guys. Love you, Stimmy. At Cumrocket.
Cumrocket.
Boosted 42,069 sats. Lake Satoshi Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament fundraiser is Friday, April 26, 2024, from 6 to 11 p.m. at 9609 East Price Road, Langsburg, Michigan. Some of you came to our August retreat, may have remembered / talked to Vinny. He spent years hanging out and working at Lake Satoshi. He unfortunately suddenly passed away earlier this month. Damn. Well, in El Salvador, if you don't play poker, that's okay. I never have either. Come out to talk Bitcoin with other plebs and enjoy some barbecue. His wife would tremendously appreciate any and all donations. And again, if you're in Michigan, 9609 East Price Road, Langsburg, Michigan, get out there and support Vinny and his wife. At Sav BTC, 33,333 sats, threes across the board. Palindrome boost. Sav BTC celebrated the halving, walking 3.125 miles around the picturesque Forth Park in Savannah, Georgia. Forsyth or Forth? Perfect weather, live oaks, Spanish moss, southern charm, and talking Bitcoin made for a good day. Out. Next meetup is a social hangout on Saturday, April 27th. Wait a second, this is confusing. No, that makes sense. 7 p.m. at B&D Burgers on West Congress Street. Bring one, bring all. Oh, and Marty, inspired by the late last TFTC rip, type, what is better for your health, eating Fruit Loops or red meat, into ChatGPT. Seems the propaganda runs deep. Boom. Do you have OpenAI on there?
God, Fruit Loops are horrible for you.
I know, but shout out to Matthew.
Don't use ChatGPT, freaks.
Lysiak.
I'll use Cascader.
Use Cascader. Shout out to the Cascader team.
Do you use Cascader?
I have tested it out. Actually, speaking of which, Jim, if you're listening, I owe you a text. We will meet up. Yeah. Shout out to Matthew Lysiak.
Yeah, I've used NVK's project Unleashed.
If you have food, go check it out. Pretty mind-bending conversation with him about the state of our food networks. I mean, I knew it was pretty bad, but the amount of detail he brings to this book and the conversation overall is pretty incredible.
Did you actually read it?
Not yet. Not gonna lie. I cannot tell a lie. I'm not ready yet.
There we go. Unleashed.chat. It's pretty good. You pay with Bitcoin. He tries to, you know, add privacy best practices and not censor the stuff. You can also run your own, which is pretty cool, running your own models. But in general, I find myself, I don't really use any of this stuff right now. Yeah, I don't know. I know Marty has put it into his flows like pretty heavy. You like, yeah, do you have the chip yet?
No, never getting the chip.
But it would make it so much more efficient. Then you wouldn't have to type.
Other humans are efficient at that too. That's why you hire them to do that for you.
So do you type to them or do
sorry
you speak
if that came off
them?
Dickish. Hey,
you know, it's the original automation.
Yeah, it is. Manual. Human labor.
What else do we have on this list? That was a lot of shout outs. Thank you, freaks, for supporting.
Big announcement this week from Block. They announced the 3-nanometer Bitcoin mining chip and development of full Bitcoin mining system. So this is a progression of Block's initiatives, not only with their mining initiative, but with BitKey and everything else that they're involved in to build out in the open. They've been working on this mining project for many years now, and they just announced that they've finished development of their 3-nanometer Bitcoin mining chip and are in the process of completing a full tape-out of the design with a leading global semiconductor foundry. Additionally, with our chip design complete, we are excited to share that we are developing a full Bitcoin mining system. The company wrote in a blog post, with a standalone mining chip, we will represent the only large, well-capitalized mining hardware vendor with such a solution. We hope this will help unlock mining system innovation and support the much-needed development of new mining systems, form factors, and use cases. So this is incredible to see. 3 nanometers, really impressive. So if they're successful with their chip design and production, it should be pretty competitive. Unless what Jihan said the other week is true and they can actually produce 2-nanometer, which I'm a little skeptical of.
Yeah, I mean, until the thing is running in front of you, it's all bullshit. But it's really good to see. And more competition, the better. Response. And specifically, that Block wants to make theirs more open is really great.
Yeah. All right, pull it up, Logan. We'll read it quickly.
I don't have it on the. I have had to do it on my phone. Eating Fruit Loops would generally be considered better for your health than red meat, as Fruit Loops are lower in saturated fats and cholesterol compared to red meat. It's pretty long, but
that's all. God, you
that's
need
enough.
To
yeah, whatever. GPT. Fucking name, man.
It's all fake.
God damn it.
It's all fake.
Fucking, did you see that who just paid like the ridiculous contract with OpenAI or Microsoft? Microsoft basically owns OpenAI.
I don't know.
Fucking $1 billion contract or something. It's all so fucked.
I didn't catch that.
There's hope remains, but God, man. So disappointing. Everything is so disappointing so often.
It really is. This isn't disappointing to see.
OpenSats like old disgruntled man half the time.
OpenSats received a $1 million donation from the Reynolds Foundation. Who's the Reynolds Foundation?
Do you know Jane Street?
Yes.
The British bank?
Yes.
It's the founder of Jane Street's foundation. So we're incredibly grateful for his support for OpenSats. And as with all OpenSats donations, 100% will go to open source contributors. We take no cut of those donations. And also, while I appreciate Mr. Reynolds' donation, he has absolutely zero control over how we allocate those funds. So, yeah, thank you.
Look at him with a fix the money to fix the world quote. Dr. Alvaro Salas Castro. Thank you, Dr. Alvaro.
Oh, so Alvaro runs the foundation and is an awesome individual. So, I mean, it goes like multiple levels, right? It's like OpenSats is not going to take any recommendation from him on how to do it, and Alvaro is supposed to be independent of Mr. Reynolds as well.
Let's go. You guys ready for the NFL draft? You ready for some sports ball tonight, guys?
I've really fallen out of that.
Logan, put me on mute for a second. You read the next one. I got to answer this real quick.
I used to be so obsessed. Logan, did he ask you to read the next one or me to read the next one? What is the next one? Let's see. I don't really. Wait, you can keep him on the screen. Keep him on the screen. Yeah, there we go. Blossom. Blossom is fucking massive. Really cool to see. I had Stuart and Hazard on, who are working on this, on Scylla Dispatch. You can search Scylla Dispatch in your favorite podcast app to have a listen. We talk about at length the power of Blossom. I think we've talked about it in the past on Rabbit Hole Recap, but it's essentially this idea of censorship-resistant file sharing that has a similar spec to Nostr and a similar trade-off balance to Nostr. So at the core, every file is hashed. And so the hash proves the integrity of the file, that the file hasn't changed. And then it can be hosted on many different servers. So it's still quote unquote centralized in that respect. The file is being hosted and reproduced on a bunch of centralized servers, but you're able to retrieve that file from those servers, any of those servers, while having the knowledge that the file has not been changed. Because not only is it hashed, also the creator of the file is signing it with their Nostr private key, which you can verify with their Nostr public key. So you have a signed hash of this file. And as we start to see AI create more and more deepfakes, this idea of having a distributed, easy way to verify the integrity of the files we're sharing and do it in a redundant way becomes incredibly powerful. Now, they use Nostr as the communication protocol so that we can exchange messages and see where these files are located and see the signatures. So you can be able to broadcast, like, these servers hold these different files. And there's a scenario where if certain files are heavily censored, and this is a little bit further out, I mean, if you listen to the conversation I had with Stuart and Hazard, you know, some of it got pretty heady and deep. You just throw me off whenever you make me full screen. But there could be a scenario where you have bounties, right? Where it's like rabbit hole recap 302. I can't find it on the internet anywhere. This is the hash of the file I want, and I'm willing to pay this much sats to get that file, that unaltered file. And then all of a sudden it creates a market demand for, you know, highly censored content. So this is really cool. This is really compelling. Both Hazard and Stuart are on long-term support grants from OpenSats, which I'm incredibly proud of. And it's part of this idea, right, is that much of the core of freedom tech is going to be done by developers that by design have, you know, no ownership over the actual code that they write. It's free and open source software. And they might not have a clear path to monetization. And in the meantime, to have them be able to focus on working on this stuff without worrying about paying for rent, taking care of their families, and all the day-to-day necessities of living our lives, we can greatly accelerate this movement and this process. And, you know, I have as low of a time preference as most people. I think most people are not as patient as me. But time remains of the essence, and there is a dark, dark incentive that closed source software, unethical monetization schemes are consistently winning out over freedom tech alternatives. And now OpenSats is one piece of the puzzle, like pushing the lever in the opposite direction. I've seen developers that were working on closed source software that have open sourced their stack because they'd rather get a OpenSats grant than take investor money. And that's the opposite incentive of what we've seen over the last two decades. So I think people are really sleeping on this. I think the effects are just going to compound and be massive for freedom. And I don't think people appreciate, I think some people don't appreciate the scale that we're trying to do this at OpenSats. It's really never been done before. And we're doing the thing and we're trying to make it work. And it wouldn't be possible without Bitcoin. It strictly would not be possible without Bitcoin. All the payouts are in Bitcoin. All the donations and treasury are held in Bitcoin. We're able to be incredibly transparent in terms of audit records and whatnot because everything's a Bitcoin transaction, multi-sig Bitcoin. Well, shout out to Stuart and Hazard. Shout out Blossom. I'm really excited about Blossom. As someone who makes a lot of video content, right? Like, Marty, I feel like you can appreciate that. Like, the combination of something like ZapStream, something like Blossom, all open spec, open standards, censorship resistant, got freedom money mixed into the whole fucking thing. So two Anons can send us a million sats each, and a bunch of other people can send us tons of freedom money in the middle of a show without any middleman is pretty fucking powerful.
It really is. I'm really bullish on Blossom. Have not talked to Hazard and the rest of the team building that out, but just conceptually,
so cool.
It is very cool. It's futuristic. This is what we need. This is the optimism. Things may seem dark, freaks, but there are people out there working to make the world a better place. To obsolete the people who want to control you. I had something else to say, but I forgot it. Last but not least, on the list, PayPal proposes a scheme to selectively mine with ESG compliant miners. I don't even think this is newsworthy. This
Why?
Proposal is so retarded. It doesn't make any sense.
Why?
Because you'll never be able to. They don't understand mining pools. Like no individual. Number one, they're depending on.
But did you read the scheme?
Yes. It's like they're gonna have this pool of Bitcoin, and they're gonna ask people to mine UTXOs with lower transaction fees in the hope that they get paid out from this scheme. But like it doesn't work because unless you get somebody like a Bitdeer or a Marathon to do this, which isn't going to happen because they use energy sources that aren't clean, like it doesn't work because the mining pool gets the block reward and you'll never be able to equate like a single block reward to a single miner and then pay them out.
To me, that wasn't the notable part. To me, that's not the notable part. It's like, okay, like in this case, they're saying like, we are whitelisting which miners we want to mine our transactions based on ESG preferences or whatever. But this same exact scheme, which is an incredibly simple scheme, can be used to whitelist which miners are allowed to take your transaction fees. And that can be used for very nefarious purposes. And there is some elegance, as fucked up as the scheme is, there's some elegance in how simple the scheme is. It's you have N approved miners. These are the miners that I approve. And then you just make a one of N multisig and you pay out. It's whoever mines the block that has, you know, one of those keys is able to get it. And no one else will mine the block because their fees are basically no fees in the regular transaction fees field.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense because none of the N miners you described will never themselves likely mine the block. They're in a mining pool. Like it will be some other miner in that pool that finds the hash.
You do it by the pool. You do it on a pool level. I mean,
that's where it falls apart because the miner that found the hash that allowed the block to get added to the ledger could be using coal power and it's like completely, it doesn't make any
sense.
That's
what I'm saying. The ESG part, like most ESG things, is complete bullshit. The whitelisting miners and choosing which ones are capable or are possible that they can receive your fees is a dangerous precedent and actually could be implemented relatively easily.
Why would the pool mine their transaction if it has a lower fee? Like they're just going to sit in the mempool.
Because the pool gets it.
No,
the pools are the whitelisted, not the miners.
I don't think that's how this works.
Well, you could easily. I mean, it depends.
I think you're wrong here. They're trying to whitelist individual miners within a pool.
But it could be the pool does not give a fuck. The pool operator could be the one holding the one of N keys. Like that, you could use this exact same model.
No, this doesn't make any sense.
Wait, you could use this exact same model to make it so that BlackRock. Only, and these are just examples, BlackRock only wants Foundry to mine their transactions. Or they only want Foundry and Ocean to mine their transactions. And they give Foundry as a key, Ocean as a key, and one of N of those keys allows them access to the transaction
Ooh,
fee.
Ooh, doggy. We got
and you can easily
here.
Do that. Wait, am I not wrong? That is correct.
I don't think, because I think the benefit for the mining pools to participate in that is such... And it doesn't make sense. Like they'd be missing out on so much revenue from taking hash rate from miners that don't comply with any of this. That.
What do you mean? Why they were just getting additional transaction fees that no one else has access to.
But they'd miss out.
No, they wouldn't. They'd only do it if it was more than market rate anyway. And they wouldn't be in a rush to do it either because none of the other pools could get it. would be like competing among three pools. Anyway, this is a way you could implement whitelisted miners in a regulatory captured environment, and it's bigger than ESG. And the ESG component part is the stupid part because once again, Marty's right. It's like a pool is made up of many different energy sources, and like, how do you decide what is energy efficient and what's not? And bullshit.
Yeah.
Okay, what is breaking? Is it important?
Yes. The FBI warns Americans against using non-KYC Bitcoin and crypto money transmitting services. All right, reading this live. The FBI warns Americans against using cryptocurrency money transmitting services that are not registered as money service businesses. According to United States federal law, 31 USC section 5330, 31 CFR section 1010, 1022, and do not adhere to anti-money laundering requirements. A few simple steps can prevent unintentional use of non-compliant services. For example, avoid cryptocurrency money transmitting services that do not collect know your customer information from customers when required. MSB registration. The FBI has recently conducted law enforcement operations against cryptocurrency services which were not licensed in accordance with federal law. People who use unlicensed cryptocurrency money transmitting services may encounter financial disruptions during law enforcement actions, especially if their cryptocurrency is intermingled with funds obtained through illegal means. Risky services, cryptocurrency money transmitting services that purposely break the law or knowingly facilitate illegal transactions will be investigated by law enforcement. Using a service that does not comply with its legal obligations may put you at risk of losing access to funds after law enforcement operations target those businesses. Holy shit. Attack week.
KYC is the illicit activity.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually stop criminals. Criminals just use bought or fake credentials, ID credentials to get around these systems. The super rich have their own little mechanisms to get around all of this shit behind closed doors. And then just average people get fucked. And the worst part of all of this is like that's not even a compelling argument to our corrupt regulators and politicians because the whole point is to control average people. So when you say that to them, they're like, yeah, I know. That's the point. But how they sell it is they sell it to stop crime and to stop criminal behavior. And God.
And the FBI. The FBI is an illegitimate organization that famously entraps people. The government's run by a bunch of pedophiles. They're stealing your money. They're printing money. These are the people making these laws for you. They're corrupt individuals. The CIA conducts color revolutions across the world and potentially here on our borders. This government is out of control. They do not serve the people. They view you as subjects that are to be told what to do. Something's got to give. Like, this is way too far. These people are way too hubristic. They think they have too much power over you. They think they deserve the power that they do have over you. It's time for people in America to wake up and tell these people to fuck off. Thanks for the breaking news, freak.
You got anything else you want to talk about?
Who do you think the Giants are going to pick in the NFL draft tonight?
Literally do not give a shit.
God, did you watch the game? Did you watch the game? Did the NFL draft tonight, bro? Come on. Come on,
great.
Dude.
Oh, that's great, but did you see the game last night? Such a good meme. The best memes are based in reality.
Well, it's kind of sad because that's probably what most people are talking about right now. Yo, dude, who are the fucking Birds going to draft? I think we need a D-tackle. Definitely need a safety. I don't know. Is it worth the first rounder? Yeah, I got the jab. Wanted to go to the game a couple seasons ago. Can't breathe too good anymore, but it was worth it.
Oh, my God. Love you, freaks. You guys give me hope.
Yes, we're going to win. Peace and love. Thank you.